This is what's so interesting to me, and this is where we can really get into more paranormal theories. In Massachusetts, we've got a creature called a puckwudgie, and he pops up in other places in the United States, but his epicenter is eastern Massachusetts. The puckwudgie is described as a little human-like creature, looks human in lots of ways, except he's no taller than your knee. He has magic, and what makes him a little different than other creatures of his kind is that he may help you and he may hurt you. It depends on his whim that day.
His mood, yeah.
Right, could be a good thing, could be a bad thing. Well, of course, in Ireland, there's the leprechaun, and the Inuit people of Alaska had what they called a little person. Very similar descriptions, miniature human with magic abilities. This creature pops up all over the world from hundreds of years ago and thousands of years ago with cultures that had no contact with each other. Yet, by different names, the same creature shows up all over the world. And to me, either if it is just purely a story, are we talking about something that's truly in the collective consciousness, that's truly out in the ethers, that we've individually pulled all over the planet, which is an incredible thing, maybe. Maybe we have such an interconnectedness that a great story can even travel without the aid of anything, without letters or internet or anything, just literally through the air. Or the other conclusion that I've reached is that the creature is real or was real at some point, and people talked about it. And so that's, to me, that's the paranormal root of these various legends. The Thunderbird, of course, there's one, the Algonquin people of New England had the Pomola, which is a large bird-like man with glowing red eyes. Of course, that matches the Mothman description from West Virginia. Then, of course, there's the American Southwest, the Thunderbird, the U.S. Air Force. Their PR, you know, sky team is called the Thunderbirds. This thing is everywhere. It goes by various names, but the description remains the same, which tells you either it's real or was real, or it's part of our collective consciousness, which is still an incredible thing and worth studying.
Absolutely, it is. And through any of this, is there anything that's out there that could be potentially dangerous for someone legend tripping?
Yeah, I mean, well, first of all, the dangers are everywhere. I mean, if you're going to go out in swamps and woods and things like that, there's the regular dangers, you know, hunters, bears, you know, strange people that might be lurking, those very physical ones. But you know, at the same time, I know people start getting into discussions of demons and things like that when you're delving into paranormal topics. I've never run into one. I was employed by one once years ago, but thankfully that job ended and I've moved on with my life. But at the same time, you know, I think the dangers are more regular, tangible human stuff, hurting yourself, falling down, you know, those kinds of things than actually being attacked by one of these things.
What are some of your favorite legends beyond just the general ghost stories?
Well, my favorite urban legend would have to be the story of Mary Worth. And this is something that I heard it as a kid, and I really wanted to dive into it deeper, because why do so many people know it? Bloody Mary is the legend.
Oh, yeah.
And the story goes, and I'm going to tell it in a very generic way. My apologies to your entire audience, because I'm sure every one of us has heard it with some variation on this. This is how I heard it. You go to a mirror, you light a candle, and you look into the mirror, and you say, Bloody Mary, three times. Now, what's so great about this legend is anyone listening right now probably has a candle, probably has a mirror, and can go try this. The story behind it is wonderful. Mary Worth was a pretty young girl a long time ago, the long time ago, intentionally vague, and she was beautiful, and she got in a horrible accident, and her face was disfigured, so much so that her parents thought that she wouldn't be able to handle seeing her own reflection, so they hid all the mirrors in the house. Well, one day, the story goes, Mary got curious and found a mirror, and she was so appalled by her own image that she literally went into the mirror looking for her old reflection, and has vowed to seek revenge on anyone who calls her name evermore. So she lurks in the land of the mirror, and if you summon her, she's going to attack you and disfigure you and things like that. Now, especially teenage girls, this story seems to resonate more with them, have tried it at 6 billion sleepovers, you know, in the last century alone. They've tried this thing. I've received emails from people who said, well, actually, a friend of mine was scratched. I saw her do it, and she screamed, and next thing we knew, her face was scratched. And, you know, these little things, again, something tangible, something actually happened, that make the story propagated again and again. Now, was the girl just overcome? Was she really scratched? I don't know. I mean, I suspect not. However, the story continues. And so, but there's a moral to the story too. There's the moral of vanity and the dangers of vanity. The, you know, don't stare at the mirror too long. This touches on all kinds of, you know, all kinds of feelings and emotions, especially related to teenage girls who are coming of age and worried about their looks and their beauty and this poor girl. It allows you to explore all those topics in a great legendary and tangible way.